I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
This year has really been going fast, hasn't it? And before we know it, the 2018 Winter Olympics will be upon us. One person hoping to be there is the snowboard Olympic champion, the parallel giant slalom winner at the 2014 Sochi Games, Patricia Kumar. And guess what? She's our guest this week on The Best in the World with Richard Parr. Yes, we've snagged another champion. We speak to another gold medalist like we do every single week. Every single week we learn from the very best. And we learn a lot this week from Patricia. She talks about her work with a mental coach. She also talks about her studies in sports psychology. One of the things I really love about her is that she has a mission statement. So we discuss that, and she's a very confident person, and she explains why she never gets nervous. However, the interesting thing in this conversation is when I ask Patricia what she will have learned for the next games, which she would have learned from the last games, and it's the fact that it wasn't the difficulty of becoming champion, it was the difficulty once she was champion, actually holding the title of being the Olympic champion. And we talk quite a bit about that, and she talks about why she went to Hawaii for a long break after Sochi. It's a really interesting chat with the snowboard Olympic champion, Patricia Kumar.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Patricia Kumar, welcome to The Best in the World with Richard Parr. So good to talk to you. Of course, you had amazing success at the 2014 Sochi Olympics, and we'll discuss all of that. But of course, the Olympics are coming again. It's coming thick and fast this February. How are you feeling heading up to South Korea at the moment?
It's hard to say. In a way, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm so excited to be an Olympian again, or to go there again. And in another way, it's a total new situation now for me, because I won the last time, so it's new. It's a different experience. So I'm also looking forward to that.
Is that new experience pressure, or is that a different feeling?
It's more of a wondering how I will handle it. I'm not feeling pressure at all. But it's just I don't know how I will handle it. But I will be. I will let myself surprise me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We will see.
Have you spoken to anyone about this? Anyone who's gone through a similar situation?
Yeah, I have a mental coach, and I'm speaking a lot to him, or I see him like once every 1 or 2 months. So that's one of the things we're talking about.
Well, of course, doctor-patient confidentiality, of course, Patricia. But what are some of the things you can tell us the conversations that you do have that you are willing to share, just so we get an insight into the kind of things that you're working on that makes you the champion that you are?
You know, my mental coach is not like one of the ordinary sports psychologists. He actually started being a physiotherapist, and he did himself also a lot of sport, and he was competing. And in the end, like, he knows, like, he's always seeing the big picture. And he's also trying to make me and himself better as a person, you know, to grow. And I like that. So for me, like, this new situation is also a situation I can grow. I can get better, you know. And that's more how we are going to solve that or to experience it.
Yeah, so like, what's a typical method? Are we talking reading books, or are we talking about putting yourself into uncomfortable situations? Like, what are some of the things that you might do?
Mostly I just I go to him and I tell him what I experienced the last few weeks, and I'm really careful about myself and how I act to other people or everything, and I tell him that, and then we are analyzing those situations, and we try or we talking how or what I could do better, or yeah, to be a good person. So I try to be as positive as possible, and yeah, it's hard to explain. It's really different than like normal psychological stuff.
That's really interesting. And from what I could tell by looking at your social media and your Twitter and your Instagram, you're quite interested in sports psychology. Is that right?
I mean, I studied psychology and I did an internship in sports psychology. For one thing, I had to do it to finish my my studies. But in other way, it was perfect that I could bring those two worlds together, like my athlete world and my students world. So it was awesome.
Yeah, because you recently completed a master's, did I see?
Well, when I haven't got the final answer or the final, I was writing my master final paper. And I don't know yet if I pass or not, but I hope so.
I'm sure you have.
So, yes. You know, it's just like, I'm sure it's okay, but I'm still like feeling a little, you know how it is when you're waiting to get the results.
Yeah.
It's kind of this feeling like, how good was I? Yeah, but I'm sure I will be fine.
I'm sure you will as well. I'm touching wood for you now. So obviously studying and training to retain your Olympic gold medal, that must be quite challenging to juggle all of that. Are you good with your time? Are you good at being able to cope with both things?
Yeah. I started to have my own team and not training with the national team anymore, so I could exactly do my own schedule. So I could say when I want to go on snow. I have a private person who's always with me, and he's taking care of everything. So I don't have to bother about my material or whatever, and he's helping me a lot. So I can do all my scheduling, and I say when and where we are going and what I need, and that's perfect. So, yeah, but as it is, I mean, I don't get enough sleep because
Oh, really?
I have to do so much. But it's normal. I know I always have times where it's really, really intense and I don't get enough sleep or not enough rest. And I know that it's not good, because when you're not rested, you can get injured more easily. So I always try to have then times where I really have a lot of rest and stuff, like mentally and physically.
Have you had situations where you've got injured because you haven't had enough sleep?
Yeah, or just too much to do sometimes. I had shortly before Sochi, I had a little injury, and I didn't tell anybody. I mean, we were discussing that if we want to tell it to the journalists or to the press or not. And then we decided not, because it would be less pressure for me. It would be less pressure when I would have said, okay, I'm injured. But it also would be a good way to say, okay, I was injured, so it's not a problem to be not good, you know. And I wanted me to prevent from that mindset. As I wanted to have the pressure that I have to be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it sounds even better also when you say, I won an Olympic gold medal and I was injured.
Well, at the time at the race, I was totally fine.
Oh, okay.
It was just not sure if I will. I was sure that I can compete, and I didn't have any pain anymore, and I was totally fine at the race. But it was like a short timing. It was 4 weeks before Aiden had a little injury in my foot, in my shins. Yeah.
Did you still manage to train in that time?
No, it was the second last World Cup before the Olympics, and I crashed and I had that injury, and I went straight back to the National Training Center. I even called that night one of the guys, and I told him I knew that he has the phone number of one of the physiotherapists, and it was Sunday evening, and he managed to get me immediately for the next morning and a treatment. So it was good for me to be there. I was 2 weeks there. I wasn't on snow, and then I had another competition, and I knew I have to have a good competition because it's for the overall globes. Because I wanted to have all three overall globes to win those in the same year, and that was because I knew nobody else could do this before, and I really wanted this to be the first one, and I knew that I probably have to win the race to be able to do it. And then I was racing with pain, but I don't like painkillers, so I didn't took any, because I lose feelings for my body, and I rather have pain than losing my body feelings. So I was racing, and I won the race, and I won all the globes, so I was just so self-confident that time that it was awesome. And then I went back to the training center and did another treatment. And then I went to Sochi, and I had 2 days before the race, and I just went on snow and said, now I have to look if the pain is still there or not. And it was gone, and I was so happy and so self-confident, and it was perfect.
Fantastic. It's funny, I've spoken to nearly 100 Olympic and world champions on this podcast. And very often you hear some of the things which you all have in common. But the one which has surprised me is similar to what you've just mentioned there, is that actually you can have an injury before a big tournament and still win gold. And in some ways, because I spoke to a champion rower called Mahe Drysdale, I've spoken to Lenny Kreiselberg, a champion swimmer, both speaking about injuries before a big event. And actually they said the injury was almost a blessing in disguise, because it gave them a chance to kind of rest their body and not overly think everything which was going to happen in the games. In some ways, do you think it helped you?
Yes. Because a few weeks earlier, I was in the gym before the injury. I was in the gym, and I really wanted to work out, because I knew I didn't have done much for physical trainings. I was in a good shape, but I had the feeling like, no, I have to do another good physical training, like a good session in the gym. And my coach looked at me, and even when I came in, he looked at me and was like, you'd rather go to sleep now. And I'm like, no, I need to train. I need to train. It's soon the Olympics. I need to train now. He was like, no. And then I did. And then he stopped discussing with me. And I did one repetition of what's called in English, clinches, I think. And he was like, okay, you go home now. And I was like, you go to bed. Go to sleep. And then in the end, I had to say, okay, he was right. But it wasn't enough to recover. And that little injury, I think it was like my body was telling me, like, you are doing too much now. Stop. And I think, yes, it was, in a way, it was good. So that I just knew that was the limit. I always try not to go over the limit. You have to push the limit as an athlete, with physically and mentally, but it's, you have to be really careful not to to go over the edge. Otherwise, you get injured.
That's clearly something you've learned in the build-up and during the last Olympics in Sochi. What else did you learn from that experience that you're now able to take with you to the next Olympics?
I think one of the hardest learnings for me was... it's hard to say, but for me it wasn't the hardest thing to get an Olympic champion than rather to be an Olympic champion. Oh. I had really a hard time to get adjusted to that. Like the first few weeks, it was always so hard when I got around the corner and like people were just like, oh, the Olympic champion is coming. And I was always like, I'm Patricia. Hi. Just call me Patricia. I'm still the same person. Stop talking about the Olympic champion. it was something that I had to learn, that's now a part of me and I have to live with it. And you know, I'm a person that is, I'm always living in the moment. And for me, that gold medal, that's just something, it's part of me, but it's of my past. It's not important for me anymore, even if people still are talking about it. You know, and I had to learn to deal with it. And now it's fine. I could fully accept it.
How long did that take?
3 years.
3 years, wow.
Yeah, that was a long time. I needed a long time.
Did you feel more pressure going into tournaments as well?
No, because before I won several times the big globe for the overall World Cups. So, no, I mean, I was used to being the chased, not the chaser, you know. So, no.
And I saw after you won gold in Sochi that you took 5 weeks and went to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, I needed.
And you went alone. Why did you go alone? And is that something you'd recommend to other people to do?
Well, that was one of the things that was bothering me, like, to be an Olympic champion. Like, I couldn't be me anymore around people, and because they just started to see me in different light, and I still saw me as the same person I am. It was just another race I won. And that's the thing. I went to Sochi, and for me, it was another race. And I never looked at it as the Olympics. So it helped me not to have a lot of pressure. But in the end, it turned out not that good for to get used to the thinking that I'm an Olympic champion. You see what I mean? And the thing is, there are a lot of, you have your personal space around you, and as soon as I won this medal, like, people started to come to me and to touch me and to hug me. And I wasn't used to that. I was like, that's my personal space. Give me my space back. And that's why I want to go alone to find myself again.
But a part of it, so no one recognizes you. And so you can just be Patricia again, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, on Hawaii, they're not... there are some skiers or World Cup skiers or snowboarders, they know me, but they're also skiers. They know a lot of Olympic champions or world champions. For them, that's normal to be around people with titles.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
So, and the most, there are not a lot of Swiss people or whatever going to Hawaii. It's 12 hours time difference. So I thought it's the best hiding spot for me to find myself. And it's really nice there. So
yeah, it must be interesting for the likes of Usain Bolt and Michael Phelps, who are known all across the globe, that they might never get that, what you call like the alone time.
Yeah, that's something I always really enjoy, to be alone,
I want to talk about goal setting, because when I looked at your website, what I really liked about your website, even though it was in German and I had to press Google Translate to understand it, it set your short-term goals, your long-term goals, and what I particularly loved was that it had a mission statement. The translation I've got here is, life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Is that something you've always believed in? And when did you come up with having this as a mission statement?
That's exactly 1 year after Sochi. Before Sochi, I was doing everything alone or in the end, I ended up to train with the Canadians for Sochi. And then I decided to go back to the Swiss national team. Just because I was tired and I wasn't feeling like organizing it all on myself again. And in the end, I just found out that going back to the national team, it was fine. I mean, the people are awesome. I really like them, and the coach was good. But I went back into a comfort zone. I wasn't challenging myself anymore. And that wasn't good for my riding or my competing. So that's why I decided to go alone again. And then there was the moment I took a private guy who helps me. And because of the Olympic title and all the other titles I have, I could afford it. So I really enjoyed doing it.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Patricia, we'll be back in just a moment on The Best in the World with Richard Parr. I don't know why I did that. Anyway, if you've been enjoying our podcast, this is episode 90, and you want to help support our show, very easy. Just go to patreon.com/bestintheworld, where you get a chance to give back, to give thanks as well for what we do. And we've got different tier levels of support that you can give to us. And the more you support, the more we also then give back to you again. So you're giving back to us for doing this podcast, then we give back to you for giving back, if that makes sense. If not, if I'm really, really confusing you, then just go to patreon.com/bestintheworld and you'll understand what the heck is he talking about. All right, let's return to someone who knows exactly what they're talking about, because they achieve their goal and they are the best in the world. It's Patricia Kumar.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
What's your diet like, Patricia? What do you eat every day? What nutrition?
Oh yeah, that's interesting. Because I'm seriously allergic to eggs, and I'm not good with gluten either. So I just eat as healthy as possible, and as well. Well, I have a lot of recipes, and they're all vegan because it's hard to find a recipe without eggs when it's not vegan. So in my kitchen, like, people are looking at me, are you vegan? But I always say it's easy to make a good meat without the recipe, but it's hard to make a cake without eggs. So yeah, I don't eat much carbs. I eat a lot of like healthy fat and healthy proteins.
Okay, so give us an idea of a typical breakfast and maybe a typical dinner then, please.
Okay, so I love cheese, so in the mornings I eat a lot of cheese with bitter ice cakes, butter, and mostly honey, because I don't like that much. I don't like sweet. It's not my taste. So I take honey that the rice cakes are not that dry, but I don't like jam. So I take that and I drink a tea, because I don't drink coffee in the mornings before I do sports.
Is there a reason for that, or just habit?
No, that's just not my stomach's favorite thing in the mornings. I love coffee, but it's for me better to drink it in the afternoons.
Okay, you're the complete opposite to me.
Yeah, for me it's I love coffee, but it really, when I drink too much coffee, I can't sleep. So I have to decide. I will not drink more than one coffee a day, and then I rather drink it in the afternoon when my stomach is more awake and I can it's better for me, and then I can enjoy it more than in the mornings when you're more in a rush just to get your breakfast done. But sometimes it can happen that when I have a lot to do the day, then I start training at 5 in the mornings to 7, and then I eat breakfast and do the other stuff, and then I have another training in the evenings. So I don't necessarily eat before I train. It depends when I train.
Oh wow, do you sleep in between then? Because that's a really early start.
No, that's what I said. I don't get much sleep.
I was gonna say. So what time is your day finishing then?
It depends. Like the last 3 months were a little too crazy. I was, I did three different 100% jobs actually.
Oh my goodness.
Like I did my normal training schedule, which is more or less 100% job when you take all the recovery stuff and everything. Then I did the internship for 100%, and I also was writing my master final paper, and I did that always in the evening until 11 or 12 p.m. So, and then I went to bed and got up in the morning at 5. And that was a little bit hard for 3 months. So,
wow.
But now I'm recovered. So I went 1 week on a camping trip, so backpacking, and I did a lot of sleep there.
That's good. Got a little chance to rest and recover. I want to talk about the day that you won the gold medal, and I was watching the race back. In the final, mm-hmm. your opponent ended up slipping right towards the end. Did you notice her slip?
No, because I was slightly ahead, and I think she was, when I remember it right, she was in my backside, so I couldn't. So I wasn't facing her, so I couldn't. I could hear that she had a mistake, but I couldn't not know how big it was. So I was still going, and I was myself, I was a little in trouble. I was a little bit too straight, so I was fully concentrating on myself.
Fantastic.
I really got over the finish line and turned, and I saw that she's not coming.
And you've become the Olympic gold medalist. How nervous were you on the day?
I'm never nervous, actually.
Really? Oh, wow.
No, that's really like a special thing for me if I get nervous. Yeah.
Why do you think is that?
Oh, I think that's just my personality. Like, I'm a really calm person. And, like, my dad's the same. So, we are not that, how else should I put it? We're not that emotional in that sense. And I was confident, and I knew that I can do it, and I just have to get my perfect runs down. And you can only be perfect when you're like riding, concentrating in yourself and not like thinking about the pressure of the others. And the pressure, what the others put on you, are the things that makes you nervous, I think. Or the pressure what yourself are doing to you.
You said there about the perfect run. What has been the perfect run in your career? Do you remember it?
I had once a perfect race. That was my best race ever, but it wasn't Sochi. In Sochi, I was just before I went to Sochi, I made perfectly clear with myself that when I go there, I knew I want to have that gold medal. I didn't want a medal. I wanted a gold medal. But I also knew that when I come home without a medal, that the world is still turning. Like, it won't be, that wouldn't be, like, the baddest thing ever, or the worst thing ever. I just told myself I won't be mad at myself not doing it, you know? So I knew there, I can just enjoy and do my best and concentrate on my own. And I just had always this saying in my head. I have to translate it to English. It's your body knows exactly what to do, so don't stand in his way or in its way. Yeah. You know, it's more or less like just shut up your mind. Because I'm doing it all the time. I mean, my body knows exactly how to perform a turn, and he knows exactly how he has to react when there's a bump or whatever, or a mistake or whatever. And then just don't think about it. Just let it flow.
It's that muscle memory and reaching that state of flow, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you said it wasn't Sochi, but do you remember which race it was there where you got the perfect race?
Yeah, and it's a long story. I was, it was the first time I was leading the overall World Cup. And I was leading it because I won 5 of the slalom races. But it was the second last race of the year. It was in La Molina at the 10th, March 10th in 2010, I guess. And it was there was no slalom race anymore. And for me, it was like, I was never on a podium in GS, in a giant slalom. And I was like, okay, maybe I win the globe or maybe not. We will see. I was totally relaxed about it because I knew like giant slalom is not my strongest thing, not like slalom. and then the fifth media director, he did a video and questioning all the athletes in the finish of area of the training to one day prior the race, like what they think, which of the five girls who can still manage to win the globe, who of those girls will win this globe? And I was so shocked how many of the guys did say my name. And I was like, oh my God, they're actually believing in me. And that created so much pressure on me. And I started shaking in the room, in the hotel room. And then I just realized, okay, this is not good and I can't handle it myself. I called my my coach, the national team's coach, and I told him, okay, you have to come drink a coffee with me instantly. Like, I can't bear it. And he didn't know what I'm talking about, so he came and I think he said like at most 20 words that afternoon. And I was talking to him like 1 hour, how I'm feeling and what the video makes with me. and he was, he didn't say much. And then in the end, I came up with my resolution. I was like, okay, and I think it's not even important, that video. And he was like, yeah, I think so. And I was like, okay, thanks. I pay for the coffee. Bye. And I just went away. And then the other day, the next day, I won my first World Cup race in a giant slalom World Cup. It was the first time I was on the podium, the first time I win. It was sunny, it was perfect slope, no ruts. It was so much fun to race. And it was always like every decision was like within a tenth. So it was so close racing. It was so much fun. And I managed to ride it and bear that that pressure. And that it's also something that helped me a lot for Sochi. I was just sure that I will do it. I don't care about the pressure, you know. So that's the most perfect race for me.
Fantastic. Well, we'll finish this perfect interview with you talking about the perfect race. Been really good to speak to you, Patricia. I really appreciate your time. Just before you go, can you let us know how we can continue to follow you on social media, please?
Yeah, you can find myself. I'm doing the most things on Instagram. It's under Patricia Kummer, or on Facebook. I do a lot on Facebook. It's Kummer Patricia. It's really easy to find.
Wonderful.
But I'm not doing much about on Twitter. I don't understand Twitter.
Fair enough. Well, we'll make sure we put links to that on the description page of this podcast. It's been really great to talk to you, Patricia Kummer. Thank you for being the best in the world.
Yeah, thank you for the talk. It was awesome.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
All the best to Patricia in Pyeongchang. If you are a snowboard fan and want to learn more from world and Olympic champion snowboarders, go back and listen to my other conversations with Nicola Tost and Kelly Clark. I've also spoken to Gretchen Bleiler. They're all on The Best in the World with Richard Parr. They're all available at sportacino.com, acast.com/best, and also on iTunes. If you're on iTunes, please give us a rating and review, and please press that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Really good speaking to Patricia this week. I'll be back with another Olympic or world champion on the podcast. If you get a moment to support our show, please head to our Patreon page, patreon.com/best in the world. All right, I'll speak to you next week. Goodbye.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.